Welcome back to Mining Stock Education. I'm Bill Powers. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to engage the show, you can do so by emailing me at bill@miningstockeducation.com. In today's show, we're going to be getting an update from Ivan Bebek, Executive Chairman of Orin Resources, regarding three of the company's projects, including two of its flagships. Orin's one of the best performing junior mining stocks of 2019 so far, and that is because, to use a baseball analogy, they're swinging for the fences and have a legitimate chance of putting that ball over the fence. Many exploration companies are satisfied with a single base hit and get ecstatic over a double, but Orin is aiming for multiple home runs, preferably with the bases loaded. Well, Ivan, welcome back to Mining Stock Education, and based on your recent press release, looks like you're stepping into the batter's box up there in the Arctic regarding your Committee Bay project.
Yeah, thank you very much. We just announced this morning that we're going to go drill Committee Bay this summer, something that we weren't sure if we were going to be organized enough with our targeting to do in time, but pushing the guys, seeing the market improve, and they said they're ready to go. So we're extremely excited to go up there. And, you know, for the benefit of everybody listening, we spend about $54 million up here. I don't know, we took about 275 drill holes or more, over 400,000 till samples. And we've been trying to figure out this 300-kilometer gold belt with an 8-gram deposit in the middle of it, where these big deposits could occur, because the endowment is really world-class, that the whole belt has, you know, gold on one end to the other. We brought in machine learning, as you're aware. This is the first time we'll ever test the AI or machine learning application in the exploration mining side for us. We think it's going to be a critical, useful application because of its capacity to process all this data that we've collected to help us hone in on the targets. The algorithms were trained off of the Three Bluffs deposit, and the amount of data we've been able to feed it is not only a lot of data, but it's the high quality of data that was collected by our former Newmont global experts that work for us. So one of the most exciting drill programs that I'll experience in my career, and a lot of people say, Ivan, you say that about everyone, and that's because everyone has a massive target at the end of the drill bit. We like really big discoveries. What I'll say here is the fact that we may be able to make history with the AI platform, and that's truly what's really taken it to the next level for us. We've published a video on Committee Bay to explain exactly how the AI works. Now, we're not going to show you the algorithms, but you're going to notice the most important denominator in that video is the collection of data and the way that we came to using AI. So please watch the video. It's on our homepage, and you'll have your own perspective of how workable or how efficient this AI program can be for us up in Committee Bay.
When you determined your targets, what was the interaction of your human intelligence? You have a top-tier geological technical team. What was the interaction between the human intelligence and the artificial intelligence in finalizing the targets that you're now going to be testing?
So that's a great question. And if you think about our human intelligence part of it, the data is collected by them. And so we have 6 or 7 world experts that all have different geological backgrounds. You have a specialist in geophysics, you have a specialist in geochemistry, a specialist as a mapper, a specialist in structural geology. Now, that's a lot better than most companies have. It would be comparable to any major out there that goes and explores. Each specialist determines one part of geology. That's getting plugged into the computer. What the human brain can't do, and what our technical team and no technical team can do, is it can't go and say, oh, there's a bit of arsenic here. Let's weight arsenic at 6% and let's weight, you know, actual gold at 17% in till responses, and structural, let's take the diorite structure here and weight it at 16.7%. The computer can twist that algorithm, manipulate it as many times as it wants to process that data at a capacity we could never, ever dream of, probably about 1,000 times or more capacity of the human brain. The human brains we're betting on are people that have done this for 20 to 40 years as their specialties in each part of geology. So, you know, we've heard a lot of the AI companies, and when we first heard of this one, we thought, oh, no, it could be fanfare, just, you know, exciting. A computer might help find it and solve it. It will never be independent of the inputs which come from the world-class geologists or any geologist that way. The control of quality on the data we've collected is what makes our AI shot, I think, copious amounts better than a lot of other guys trying it. You can argue algorithm, I'm not going to do it. You can argue geoscientific interpretations, I'm not going to argue that either, except for we have top world experts. What I will say is the quality of data, the disciplined, militant way we've collected data, and anyone that's worked from us on Committee Bay that's gone through the rigorous training before they could take their first sample up there with us, you know, would certainly attest to it. But these guys that we work with, they're world class. They're extremely thorough. They're extremely disciplined. And those two words, thorough and disciplined, going into a computer are the things that it needs, really high quality data. So we're not testing all of our AI targets. This is a small program. It's 3,000 meters. You know, one good hole makes a start of a massive gold discovery, especially in this part of the world. We're going to drill a lot more than one hole. We're going to test a few of the targets. We see the program as a win-win. Either we come out of this program and say, we've got the start of the world's next major gold discovery since Amaruq was found in 2013 by Agnico Eagle, which happens to be nearby Committee Bay. Or secondly, we're coming out saying, we got closer, we've refined AI, and next year we're going to go spend real money and drill 20,000 meters because now we've got the system figured out. I don't think we could kill any targets with the AI because the targets are vast, they're very large. But I think that, you know, if you followed our progress last year, independent of the AI, we were on the edge of a major discovery. Had we known the results during the program on our IVIC target, we would have drilled another 500 meters or a kilometer south of where we were drilling, because the furthest south hole on the structure was the best hole drilled. And this is the cool part, is that the AI, before we got our results last year, it actually chose the area that we saw after results that we should have been going, and it would have never chosen any of the holes we drilled leading up to that last year. So tremendous opportunity. It works in our opinion. It's extremely useful tool. The guys who inputted our world class. And so I think we have a really good shot. And the other part about it is it's not just finding a gold deposit. You're in the land of elephants. You might find something that, you know, we'll talk about for years in the exploration business if we get it right.
What will this program cost, and when can we expect results?
Yeah, program's going to cost $1.9 million. Our treasury was $3.5 million about a month ago. Obviously, capital is going to be something we should address, and it's the elephant in the room. To raise money at our current share price today, the cost would be 650,000 shares, roughly, because we can raise money at a 40% premium. We're not going to go to market to go raise money. We're not going to do a broker deal. We're just going to do it with one of our loyal shareholders. Sometime here in the next few weeks, we'll probably, you know, raise the money for the Committee Bay Gold Project, which is such a small amount. I mean, it's one day's volume to pay for Committee Bay. That's such a free pass. And as the company's largest shareholder, speaking as myself, you know, would you want 650,000 shares, maybe 0.7 dilution of your company, to get the answer if your AI works and Committee Bay actually has it after $54 million has been spent? For me, it's a no-brainer. I think for our management team, the targeting is pristine. We were on the edge of it last year. The AI is going to change it. The cost of capital is extremely low, and the opportunity for capital is extremely high. But you know, you saw our last financing we did was $6 million Canadian, roughly, at $1.60 Canadian. And, you know, we didn't go to market for that. So I think right now we're extremely defensive on dilution, and we have a lot of really good things going on, not just at Committee Bay, Sombrero, which we'll talk about here in a minute, but our capital requirements for the next 12 months are actually really small. And I think there's a misnomer in the marketplace thinking we need a lot of capital. We treat the company as shareholders. We most certainly are going to do the smaller financings because we have the goods in more than one project, and we have a rising commodity market, both with copper and gold. And I think, you know, we can worry about raising bigger dollars later on when we actually need them.
Yeah, I appreciate how you always keep your ear to the street and feel out the markets as you plan out these financing and then calculate how to do it with the least amount of dilution. When we're talking about the results from the Committee Bay project, what type of gold grades and intercept lengths would you consider success for this program?
The advice that I would give everybody, if you look at the holes of Sabina, Amaruq, which is Agnico Eagle, if you look at the holes of Meliadine and so on, I mean, anything that's, I would say, 670 to 100 grams per ton grade times width of the intercept or higher is going to be onto a system. If you drill 10 meters of 7 grams, you're in the start of something. If you drill 20 meters of 5 grams, you're definitely in the start of something. If you drill, you know, 5 meters of 20 grams, you're on the start of something. So look for, our magic number is 100 grams per ton. 10 times 10 is 100, 20 times 5 is 100, you know, and so on. So that's our goal. If we can find that in the start of a system, then we're going to be excited. Last year, we found in one area 20 meters of 0.4, and a lot of people are like, that'll never work in the Arctic, and we would most certainly agree. But if you go to the Three Bluffs deposit, which is 1.3 million ounces of approximately 8 grams per ton, spectacular high-grade deposit, guess what's surrounding that deposit on all sides? 20 meters of 0.4. So, you know, it gets us excited if you hit the smoke and get closer to it. But look for a 100 gram per ton hole. That'll be the home run start. And that's what we're looking for.
Your other flagship project is the Sombrero Project, copper gold project in Peru, and that has driven a lot of the share price speculation in the stock this year. You recently released the assay results from one of your targets there. These were historical iron skarn drill core, and we saw 116 meters of 0.58% copper equivalent. What's the significance of this data?
Okay, so Sombrero is a land position we were clever to acquire by opportunity. And, you know, a lot of people didn't go here because there's a lot of volcanic cover. People thought that the rocks were younger. We went in here on a small claim, about 4,500 hectares, and built a 120,000 hectare land position. And we mirrored a very famous belt in Peru in the Andes called the Las Bambas District, which has some of the world's, Peru's largest copper deposits in the Andes. And what we saw, instead of those deposits having copper moly, we saw a lot of copper gold. So the last 12 months, we've been peeling layers off the surface. We trenched 109.7, 105.3. Then the other day, we trenched 232 meters of 0.5.5% copper gold equivalent. That started to get the world-class attention that this place deserves. And the feedback has been, nobody did the detailed work. Nobody thought this would actually be here. Nobody looked through this cover. And as we did more work, it's been a sequence of every time we go there, we find out something better about the geology and how it's comparable to the belt next door. Las Bambas itself is a cluster of three deposits worth about $60 billion gross value. That's part of our exploration upside. We have an entire 120,000 hectares that would be in the northern portion of it, not the entire property land position. So you got to think about, oh, wow, that could be major if you found another Las Bambas or something in that neighborhood. Tintaya is a mine that was mined by BHP, one of their most profitable mines they've ever had in their company. It was about 500 million tons of 1.5%. The opportunities at Sombrero are to repeat those major discoveries you see next door. We've only worked on the first of six major targets. That's the only one we've had access to. That's going to change shortly. So what did we announce the other day? We found some historical drill holes from an iron company that was drilling for iron, or a steel company that was drilling for iron skarn. And they came up with, or we came up by assaying the results with 116 meters of 0.58% copper equivalent. If you read our press release, it's so clear. We tabulate a table showing all the mines next door and what those average grades are to give everybody a direct comparison that we're not only in the right geology, we have the right grades. So now we're waiting for drill permits ourselves. I'm extremely shocked that the market sold off the way it did and we put out the news and there lies the opportunity. We basically, with this press release, have confirmed that we have the start of a potential Las Bambas district in our land position. The third dimension is real. To rewind a little bit and say one comment about the geology, there's two types of rock that we're talking about in this part of the system. One is called the Ferrobamba limestone. Las Bambas is hosted by it, and all these major mines are hosted by it. And then the other thing that we've seen in this hole is the Upper Mara unit. The Ferrobamba limestone is above the Upper Mara unit. The Furaso target, we have results. It has about 20 or 30 meters of the Ferrobamba limestone, and then the rest of it is the Upper Mara unit, which is below the limestone. The rock that's going to host the major deposit, which we've mapped all through our first target, specifically on our Chumpe Norte target, is the Ferrobamba limestone. That carries the grade. And so outside of these drill results, excuse me, you say, Ivan, what's the fingerprint? What is this doing to the system? What does this tell you guys? Well, we see a target that's over 3 kilometers long, same signature, but Ferrobamba limestone and Upper Mara unit, 300 to 400 meters thick over the 300 meters or 3 kilometer long strike length. It comes into the edge of Furaso, and on the other end of this target is 109 meters of 0.7 that we've trenched, which include 39 meters of 1.93% copper. So my point to you is that we are in the first of six major potential discoveries in just the northern half of our claims. We've gathered the attention of the largest mining companies in the world. We've signed multiple CAs, and we just took away the risk. The biggest risk you have is the third dimension. Is this just copper and gold on surface, or could it be beneath? It's an astounding press release. Now, I think the market was hesitant to react because we don't have our drill permits yet. They are well filed a while ago. They're in line. They're being reviewed, and we do anticipate them probably Q4 of this year is our target date, but it may roll into Q1. I know we're being ambitious, or maybe we're being conservative. We cannot control how fast the permit's going to come from the government. We have to be patient, but in the meantime, we're turning a drill on July 7th or so at Committee Bay, and there's a lot more news to come out of Peru that we have not been speaking about. That's going to give a lot more credence to us potentially having this Las Bambas district. How do you do that? A lot of additional surface work that's going to come out of the next area we get access to. If you go look at our presentation, go look at the area called NEOC. I mean, there's 9% copper, 5 gram gold taken by our predecessors as a couple samples off surface in a few areas. And that area will be the next area that we bring to a drill ready stage. Look, it's the most exciting opportunity for shareholders that we could have possibly created. A swing for the fences on one of the world's biggest gold belts using AI technology after a lot of money's been spent collecting a lot of really high quality data. And then and down in Peru, you know, I don't have a question in my mind, is this going to be a hole in the ground? The question I have, or we have, is how many holes in the ground and how big will this be at the end of the day? If it's anything like the belt next door, we're talking world class, you know, something that's going to be notable on the world scale. Lastly, when you talk about Sombrero and you talk about grade and you talk about widths, you know, the grade in widths is spectacular, but no one's talking about the hydroelectric power lines that are on the property. Nobody's talking about the roads and the easy access. The infrastructure could not be better if we planned for a mine to exist here. There's power, water, roads, and personnel right on the edge of this property, or power lines right on the property. So it's truly, you know, that equates to profitability. It's a rare opportunity as a company to get an entire district, to get an entire district in your portfolio, and possibly have the entire Las Bambas district in our land position. And that's what we're basically swinging for. So two major swings, a lot of really big surprises to the upside that are going to come. There should be really steady news flow, both out of Committee Bay, because we're going to be drilling here in a few weeks, and also from Peru. There's a lot going on that I won't get into on this interview, but it's going to be a very, very busy 6 months for us as we wait for the drill permits to come in.
I appreciated that you referenced and addressed that it's been about an 8% sell-off in the stock since the Sombrero historical core results. And one thing that I think investors might forget is that this was not your target. You didn't choose to drill in this location. You were just taking somebody else's chosen drill target.
So that's a very valid point. And I was saying this till I'm blue in the face. The person who drilled these holes was not looking for copper. That was actually something they were trying to avoid, and was not looking for gold. They didn't even assay for gold before us. They were looking for iron skarn. And if you look at the holes, one of them in particular, it's drilled vertical right next to the porphyry dike. The porphyry dike, you would drill across it, and that's going to be where you get all your grade, and that's what you want to drill across as just a basic way to drill these systems. You drill across structures, not beside them, right? It still ran 129 meters of 0.3% copper equivalent. When you drill vertical holes in a system beside targets versus across them, and you're getting grades that would make it, considering the infrastructure we believe would be economic, that's spectacular. But the holes, every hole that's crossed the structure is averaging 0.5 to 0.58. It's all averaging the grades that are being in those big mines next door. So tremendously lucky that the holes were close enough to the mineralization. A few of them have crossed it. I can assure you and people listening that when we get to turn the drills on our targeting, it's going to be a much more, you know, anticipated success rate, because we're actually going to point the drill towards the copper and gold versus towards another metal like iron. So a huge, huge heads up for everybody, a hint that the third dimension is real, that has been achieved. I think that de-risks us by about 85% on the normal risk that you would go in and say, hey, is this going to be here or not? But most importantly, the grades were spectacular in a unit below the good unit that we expect to have the majority of the mineralization to host. And so very early days, the market is, you know, a fickle place. You know, I'm not worried about the commodity market. I'm not worried about the gold market. I've said this a few times. I'm worried about metal in the ground. Well, as of now, with Sombrero, I'm not worried about the metal in the ground. This thing, in my opinion, is going to go absolutely all the way. We're going to find a few big major deposits here. And the risk of that happening now is gone away for us. So the only question will be is grade and tonnage. And it's a nice question to have, when you're in the neighborhood of some of Peru's largest mines, such as Las Bambas, Tintaya, and Tacapay, some of the big porphyries that exist in that part of the world.
About 2 weeks ago, you issued a press release, and it looks like you found greater potential to find more gold and silver up at your Homestake Ridge project in British Columbia in the Golden Triangle. Can you recap that for us and tell us the significance?
Sure. Homestake Ridge, Golden Triangle, you know, you think of SK Creek, Pretium, and what's happened up in this part of the world, Seabridge. This is a place on the earth where some of the world's largest gold deposits have occurred and are occurring. We originally acquired the project. We thought, hey, let's go and extend the 1.2 million ounces, 7.5 grams per ton gold silver equivalent. We figured out the metallurgy. We created a very profitable mining scenario, but we drilled it and we didn't see the double or tripling of mineralization there. What we did last year was we said, hey, look, let's not be blinded by this high-grade gold and silver. Let's step away from it. Let's find the upside in this land position, see what we can create. We came out with two areas. You're getting up to 0.5 kilo silver. We don't know what that fully means yet, but seeing that kind of grades of silver gets us very excited. And then we have a drainage in the south west portion of the property where we're seeing incredible gold values. And, you know, the terrain is what it is, and you're in a part where if it was sticking out of the ground, you know, it'd be drilled by somebody else. Here's a statistic about Homestake Ridge that we don't talk about much. But the Homestake Ridge deposit, which has enjoyed holes of, I think, 75 meters of 21 grams per ton, 90 meters of 6 grams per ton, and so on, some spectacular world-class intercepts. And it's sitting there. If you go and see it, it took 17 years to make this discovery. 17 years from people before us to make the discovery. I'm not saying we have a 17-year wait to go make our discovery. I'm saying that, you know, in hindsight, this thing was easy to find, but the Golden Triangle does not always show off with big, robust deposits out of the ground. Again, we wouldn't be exploring it. We'd be reading about it. So the fact that we've opened up two areas in the Golden Triangle, it changes the perception on the project. This summer, we're budgeted for, it's within our budget, we're spending $700,000 bringing these two areas to a drill-ready state, and by the end of the summer or going into the fall, we're going to be able to tell everybody of how probable these opportunities are or how high risk they are. But the one thing we do know is that the Golden Triangle produces the reward that we dream about as shareholders, so we're really excited about it.
Ivan, one of your large shareholders is Newmont Gold Corp, and I'm curious, what kind of feedback or interaction do you have with that corporation regarding your planned drill programs or results? What does that look like?
Well, yeah, sure. Great question. Great shareholder within Goldcorp. They took an early bet on us, a big one, when we were about to go up and tackle Committee Bay and cross the portfolio. I'd say when that investment was made to today, you know, a lot of money's been spent. Their investment was about $36 million. We spent $100 million in 4 years. The quality of what we've taken out of the ground in terms of getting closer and collecting data to point us towards discovery is something everybody should be happy about as a shareholder, and I don't think they would disagree. I can't speak for them. I'm making a speculation, but at the same time, our technical team comes from Newmont, so we have their former chief geologist Antonio Ribas on our board, with the former global structural geologist, the global mapper, the global geochemist, the global geophysicist. So when you talk about them being shareholders, and you point towards our technical work, and you point towards the scope of what we're going to go find, I think it's something that, you know, assuming that they'd be quite pleased that their shares are in really good hands technically with a group that's able to finance and execute on its business model of chasing these major deposits. They're obviously a gold-focused company. They became a lot bigger soon with the merger between Newmont and Goldcorp. We're, you know, giving them updates. We're about to give them updates, you know, continuously as we move forward into these things. But everybody's watching. They have a great head start towards the rest of the market. And, you know, I think we've maintained structure and we've maintained currency. So I would assume that they're in pretty good spirits about it and going to keenly watch us in our programs this year, both in Canada as well as in Peru. If it's a predominantly copper asset in Sombrero, I don't think that's their cup of tea. But if there's a big gold component, and you know, a lot of people criticize us, said, hey, there, where was all the gold? You said there could be more gold. There's up to 193 grams per ton gold in the system. There's a lot of epithermal occurrences. There's several multi-gram gold samples everywhere. We don't know what's going to come out of Sombrero in terms of gold numbers yet. If it's got a significant gold number, I don't see how any gold company wouldn't be, super keen on an asset like that. Copper is going to make you a ton of money on the backside of it, but the gold would be its own precious value for a precious metals company. So great relationship. Love it that our geologists all come from there. I like to think we speak the same language technically, and I think they're very creative to have in our registry.
Orin trades in New York and Toronto under the ticker AUG. The website is orinresources.com. Make sure you're on Orin's mailing list to get the latest press releases and updates. And the corporate communications team is very responsive. Happy to answer any questions you have. You can email them at info@orinresources.com. Well, Ivan, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I look forward to seeing you at the Sprott Conference at the end of July and to getting more updates from you when we get these results back from Committee Bay.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Love being here, and it's going to be an exciting year for us. I really thank you for the time.
Thank you for listening to this Mining Stock Education podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded investors. Visit us on the web at miningstockeducation.com for more resources on precious metals and natural resource investing. At our website, you can also sign up for our free newsletter for interview transcripts, stock picks, and more. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered personal legal or investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or any other product. We make every effort to be accurate, but the information presented is not to be considered infallible. It may contain errors, and we offer no inferred or explicit warranty. If personal advice is needed, consult a qualified legal, tax, or investment professional. Do not base any investment decision on the information contained on miningstockeducation.com, our podcasts, or videos. Make sure you always conduct your own thorough due diligence before investing. Realize that we may hold equity positions in or be compensated by some of the companies we feature and therefore are biased and hold an obvious conflict of interest. For our full disclaimer, please visit our website.